So you were just at Blue Jays camp, and you talked to Vlad, you talked to Bobuchet. What was your major takeaway? What were you leaving that camp thinking about?
Well, I went in thinking, all right, we're going to talk about the core offensively, how they're going to score 7-8 runs a night. Left there thinking, damn, this team might be able to pitch and contend a little bit for a while until Nate Pearson gets there, or maybe they make a move or whatever the case may be. And look, Ross, I didn't get a chance to holler at Ross, but I left there thinking this team is going to be good sooner than later. Now everybody thinks, that's what we've been hearing, but it's never anything where you can just etch in stone, because you always have to get the pitching. You always have to be in a position where you can pitch, be competitive that way, and then offensively you score some runs. I think the offense still has some holes. I think the pitching is going to be okay once Nate gets there, who's a beast. Mm-hmm. You can slide Ryu down if you want. I think Charlie has some different options. That's what you always want as a manager, is to not just be stuck, in one direction. You can move. You can change up some stuff. If a guy's struggling, you can move him down in rotation and still be able to go out there and give you innings, where last year it was all local place, and rightfully so. You just didn't have the arms to go out there and do it. But I left camp optimistic and thinking that this Jays team is going to be fun to watch, fun to cover. Bobuchet is a different beast. He's going to be special. I mean, he pays attention to details other than just playing ball, and I think that's important. And yeah, he comes from, from a family. Obviously, Dante Pops was there in camp. But he's just different, meaning that he understands that you need some dogs in the clubhouse, meaning that you need these dudes that's going to get angry and that's going to play the game differently, that's going to challenge the opposing team, that's going to go out there and grind out every at-bat, every inning. And that's important. When you look at Vlad, he's kind of taking on the pressure of understanding that his rookie campaign, where we were expecting to see 30 homers possibly in his 4 some at-bats, that he's willing to take on that responsibility of being a star. And I think those are things that you can't teach, but you definitely welcome with open arms as an ex-ball player. And hopefully these dudes that around them can see where these guys are going and get on board.
Hey, we want to dig in more on Bichette and Vlad in a second here. And I know maybe it was just saying something out of hand, but you said if you have Nate Pearson, you can slide down Ryu. Do you think there's potential that Nate Pearson is already potentially this team's best pitcher?
When you ask everybody in camp, yes. And it's not just the fact that he's a huge human on the mound. It's not the fact that he throws 100 miles an hour fastball. They talked about everything, all the intangibles that goes along with being a major league ball player every day. And those, again, when you talk about things that goes into being a consistent stud in the game, you have to work at it. And not just eyewash work, not just show up and act like you're running, on the treadmill, or act like you're running outside, but be in control of everything that you do. Work smart. Understand what you got to do when you come in. Make your adjustments on the fly, meaning that you watch tape and you don't just go out there and go, well, the next start, I'm going to do exactly what I did the last start because it worked the first time. No, guys are going to watch that and go, if you fall into complacency where you're doing the same things over and over, guess what's going to happen? We're going to be able to eliminate one pitch from your repertoire and then be able to gang up on you on your fastball. Well, he's from what I hear in camp, he's been able to make those adjustments. He's paying attention to detail. He's doing little things that's going to make him the pitcher that they expect him to be. And if he does that, then, like, again, Charlie can slot in however he wants to slot in Ryu, Tanner Roark, right? Yeah, I think I'm saying it right.
Yep.
And slot these guys in certain ways. And I think that's the one thing, that's the one luxury as a manager I would think you always want to have, because guys are going to struggle. You're going to deal with injuries at times. You know, getting Matt Shoemaker back, who I hear is on point, and, he wants to do exactly what he was doing last year before he got hurt. These are things that Charlie had no idea what the heck was happening last year. you know, they was going down, getting a guy from AAA, bring him up. Just please go out there and give me a couple innings so we don't deplete the bullpen and hopefully we can get back on track. Well, there was no track last year, and I think this is a welcoming, you know, situation for them.
No, the rotation was god-awful last year, and it's definitely going to be better than that. Hopefully Vlad's better than last year, too. It wasn't that he was bad, especially his first kick at the can in the majors, right? Like a 770 OPS, that's fine. But, yeah, it's so much conversation about his body and the transition that he was trying to take overtake and have in the offseason as far as getting his body right, losing a few pounds, being a little more consistent throughout the entirety of the season, including late in the season. You talked to him. You saw him. I mean, there's only so much you can judge with the naked eye, but you've talked to people. Like, is that a real thing, that there's been something that's changed for him as far as his body and the work he put in the offseason?
Well, yeah, I think he understands what goes into playing 150-plus games. Even though he hasn't gotten there, but he understands what's at stake at the big league level. Meaning that, you know, when you have a pops that's a Hall of Famer and senior, and then you have your uncle who's Wilton, who I just saw the other day at camp. All these dudes these are unbelievable ball players. I mean, you got the genes, you got the DNA, but what's lacking? It's your mind. It's the thing between the two ears. That's allowing you to be the player that everybody expects you to be. Now, expectations are what they are. It's us putting expectations on players because we've seen a guy do well. It means nothing when you get to the big league level. That's why, you know, I love when my boy Casey Stern says it all the time. He goes, you know, prospects turn into suspects. And it's true, because when you get to the league, you're expecting everything to flow just the way it was in Double-A and Triple-A, and it just don't float that way. It's just too many things going on for it to go the opposite way. You have to cut the cord and go, look, that was there. This is now. He gets that. And now I think you're going to see a better ball player. And I told him, I said, look, you might, in my eyes, you're more than just a power threat. And that for me is more important than being a power source and all those things that go along with your flash going to hit 50 homers. That's fine. But when you become one-dimensional in this game, you don't last long. Ask Chris Carter. I mean, dude led the league in homers and went to the house the next year. Like, that don't happen. But I think when you look at Vlad, I told him, can you hit 340, 350? He's like, yeah, I want to hit over 300. Mm-hmm. That is where you learn the game and understand what guys are trying to do to you, because there are going to be counts where, yeah, you 2-1, you 2-0, but why do you have to go for, you know, the three-run homer? A ball to the right center gap is just as efficient as a three-run home. But those are things that you learn on the fly, and I think he's starting to understand that, because he's not just a power threat. I think the dude can hit. His batting practice is where you watch him and he goes to right field, because he understands the whole park is in play. You can utilize it if you have the right mindset.
Yeah. No, and he has throughout his entire minor league career. And you mentioned, like, the first little bump in the road, and it's not even really a huge bump. It's not like he was garbage last year. But, yeah, he's just been so good at every single level, and it's just been – there's been no questions raised. And he's also been the best prospect, not just on this team, but in baseball. And then all of a sudden, I think most people still view him that way, but, like, I don't know, in this room, and you just said it, all the glowing stuff about Bo Bichette, man, I don't know. If I had to choose one or the other, I'm probably leaning Bo right now, and I know it's a small sample, but I wonder if that is also a motivator for him. And I know they're good pals, and they came up the minor leagues together, but I wonder if he looks over at that guy and is like, oh, so you got the shine now, and I want it back.
Yeah, well, that's a friendly competition that you always love, right? You welcome it. And I know Charlie, as an ex-player, welcomes it, because it's nothing where – you're envy of them, or you're jealous, and you feeling like, you know what, how you get the shine and I'm left behind. No, I'm the stud. You don't play the game that way. I go back to my days when I was top prospect in the Expos organization, and it was Rondell White, who, when I got to camp, I was like, who is this cat? Right? Like, I've heard so much about Rondell White, but I'm like, nah, you don't get the shine. I'm a shine first. But I thought it was friendly, because we became best friends. We became roommates. We hung out every day. And that's something that you want to be around the best, because I'm going to learn something from him. I'm going to watch how he goes about his business. Bo just gets it differently, and it's okay. you know, Vlad goes about it a little bit differently because I think he's more shy and, you know, he's a little bashful, but he wants to be the best player on the field. You can see it. You can see it. And just as how he goes, his mannerism, you can see it when you're talking to him, he lights up when you said something good. Like I told him, I said, look, I think you hit 350. He looks at me like, hell yeah, I can hit 350. And those are things I take from a guy like him and go, okay, this team, you can talk about the core all you want, and I'm not going to throw away Luis Gurriel Jr. because I think he's going to be right in this mix. You know, Biggio, and then we're talking about Bichette, and we're talking about Vlad, but Gurriel Jr. is a different animal. And if you can add him into this mix, I'm going to add him, but if people can add him into this mix and lengthen that lineup the way I think it's going to look, it's going to be something special to watch this year, I'm telling you, fellas. And the camp looks great. I like the addition of Travis Shaw because I think he's going to help those dudes in the infield as far as maybe he gets back to where he was a couple years ago in Milwaukee where he banged the ball over the ballpark. He gets a mulligan on last year. But he's going to pick the ball and help those guys defensively. That's going to add to this team turning this thing around sooner than later.
Man, this team's offense has been so ugly for the past couple seasons. I really hope you're right because everyone's excited. But holy crap, I've been to a lot of games the last couple seasons where Jays go down 1 or 2-0 in the first inning. You're like, all right, how many Bud Lights we having tonight? Because it's over.
It's a wrap. All in the approach, bro. Yeah. It is a wrap. You know, it's a wrap when the whole squad feeling pressure. So you got to change the narrative. Some guys get to camp and you hear the same thing over and over. It's like, man, I heard this story before. I've heard this line before. We got to do this. We got to do that. No, give me exactly what happens with two strikes. What we have to do as a whole, meaning that you can't have the same swing 0-2, 1-2 as you have 2-0 and 2-1. That's not playing the game smart. That's a selfish way of playing baseball. So you have to be able to say, all right, with two strikes, I'm team oriented. I'm going to put the ball in play. I'm going to fight. I'm going to make this. If I make it out, this dude, I saw 8 pitches. At least change the mindset so when you get up there in the box, you have a game plan from the on-deck circle to the box. You're not just up there. And I think we saw a lot of just up there last year, and rightfully so because everybody is young. Travis Shaw is 29. He's still the oldest position player on the squad, right? So you're still dealing with, you know, guys that are trying to find themselves, get their feet up under them, but you're still in the big leagues. So you can't be just happy you're in the lead. You got to make adjustments. And one of the adjustments that I would like to see is with two strikes. What are you going to do to make that pitcher think, damn, the next at bat going to be tougher because he saw all my pitches and he knows what he can eliminate and what he should have hit. That's making the whole squad that much better and that much more competitive.